Good afternoon, everybody. I hope you can hear me. Before we start, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for this time that we can come and listen to your word. Thank thee that you can gather us in this way, that the Holy Spirit would purpose us to come. Could have been doing something else, but to purpose to come and listen to your word. We pray, Father, that this word will be your word, not my word. But you it's your word that will be sounded from this platform. And we pray that those that will hear it will hear it. Let those who have ears hear what the word is saying. So, Father, we pray that thou will guide us through and that we can listen, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, like our friend, our brother Danny said, I'm in Luke chapter 15. Very familiar chapter. And we will read the whole chapter. And then we'll go. It's nice to see John here. Thank you for coming. So, Luke chapter 15. I'll wait for everybody to open up their Bibles. Sometimes it takes me a long time to find these chapters, but these books, I can empathize. Okay. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave them 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who did no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then he said, "A certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with the prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, which are pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. You never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. So, we have the setting of this, these three parables. Okay? We have the Pharisees, and I'm sure most people know what the Pharisees were, but they were the keepers of the law. They were the ones that were strict with the law, and they always were watching the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he doing? There was a time he was walking in the fields and with his disciples, and they were plucking some grain, and the Pharisees were not happy with that. This is Sunday. What are you doing? So they were always finding fault with the Lord Jesus Christ, as we can see in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting with the publicans and sinners. He's eating with them and drinking with them. Not that he's there for the party, but he's there to bring them to himself. And we read that these sinners and tax collectors, they drew near to him. They drew near to him to hear him. Okay. Not the Pharisees. The Pharisees were there to just, find fault. But the sinners and tax collectors drew near to him to hear him. So, here's the Lord. I hear the Pharisees complaining. As we heard this morning, they were complaining about that when he said, your sins are forgiven. In their heart, and he could tell. So he comes up with his parables, and I just like how the Lord just came up with these things just like that. And he comes up with his parables, and we have the first one. It says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep?" if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be rejoicing in heaven when one sinner that repents. In Australia, they keep a lot of sheep. And I looked up the sheep that were lost. There are three, actually, that I found that got lost. You know, they just strayed away and they got lost. They don't come back. And when they find them, one of them, you know, was called Chris. You know, so in 2019, was found several miles from the nearest sheep farm. And he had 25 kilos of wool on him that could knit 89 sweaters. And so that's how long it has been before he was sheared. And another one in 2020 called Alex had 40 kilos of wool, but was covered in filth and sticks and everything. You know, the site was bled because the fur had grown on his face. And then there was one again in 2021, Barack, and he also had 35.4 kilos of wool. So they get lost and they don't come back. Okay. So this man knew that if he doesn't go look for his sheep, it's not going to come back. So he had to leave all these and go. So the lost sheep represents the sinner as departed from God and exposed to certain ruin. Okay. So the lost sheep were like the tax collectors. Okay. That's what the Lord was saying. But they drew near to him. But the Pharisee says, no, this man came to receive sinners and eats with them. Well, we can say guilt as charged, because the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. So that's why he was there. So, but at the same time, as our brother said this morning, Steve Miller, he said, the Pharisees were just as lost. Okay? They didn't know it. They were just as lost as the tax collectors. They were just as lost. So he puts this calf on his shoulders and takes it home. Then the Lord went on to another parable, a similar one. Verse 8, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And once she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in presence of angels, God, over one sinner who repents. The coin is lifeless. There's no way it could come back to the woman. In a way, that's the state in which we are. We've fallen and lost in darkness. So God searches for us. The Lord is the light of the world. So we see the woman lighting, a lamp. And we read that, for when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So the light of the world shines into the darkness to find us, and he lovingly picks us up out of the dirt and cleanses us thoroughly. So, in these two parables, the Lord was showing that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he is showing. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The shepherd went to seek for that sheep that was lost. The woman was seeking for that coin that was lost. Then we come to the last one, which is the most well-known one, the prodigal son. Most people know it, but they don't know it. They don't know the full story. They like to end on he's the prodigal son, and that's it. No, what happened to him after? No, not too many people know. But it's an indication of people who rebel and they go off. Okay. So we see in verse 11 to 13, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. By the way, I'm reading from the New King James this time. If people won't be like wondering which version I'm using. And not many days after, the youngest gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So this son asks for his portion. I'll come to the portion later on. He asks for his portion so he can go away. He can go. He didn't tell his father he wants to go away. He just asks for it. And then a few days later, he takes off. So what he took, we don't know what kind of wealth he took. But it says that he went to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with the prodigal living. So many translations of that prodigal living. Some Bibles say sinful pleasures. Others, like the King James, say righteous living. Righteous. You know, my Zanglish sometimes, gets in the way. Righteous living. Not righteous living. Righteous, like a riot. No, it's a righteous living. English is too tough. Reckless living. Some books, some say reckless living. Some say wild living. And others say immoral living. And parties and prostitutes. So there are so many, words that render this. But there's one that covers them all. It's a debauchery. Okay. Our brother Bob was here sometime. He mentioned this. I could hear him was talking about debauchery. You know, it just came. But we found this word sometime. My wife and I were downtown, walking around, minding our own business. Then we said, let's go in that restaurant and eat something. So we went into Days Inn, there on the waterfront. And where can we go? You can go wherever you want. So we went to the right. And that was the wrong turn. So we went in there, we sat down. The waitress came, took our orders, and we sat down. And then there was those little things they put on the table there, cones, whatever they are. They are like, three-sided. And the word that was there was debauchery. My wife is the one who noticed it, and I had never heard of that word, by the way. She's trying to explain to me, I said, debauchery, what is it? But then, looked it up, and everything came into focus because, when you look around, there was words that had asterisks on them, so they don't say the whole word. And by that time, we had already ordered. We couldn't just leave. And so, we felt so bad that we are paying, you know, to perpetuate such a house. So now you would imagine what happens in that place at night, you know, or what happens later on, you know. So my advice to people is that if there's a place where they serve alcohol and they serve food on the side, don't go in. But if they sell food and on the alcohol on the side, then that's fine, you know, you can go in. You know, that's my assessment from that day. That would be my our guiding light. If they are main business is alcohol, and then even if they have the best hamburger, I'm not going in. So that was a debauchery. So that's how this boy spent his money, you know. And if you look that up, that word up, you'll see. Okay. So then we say, but when he had spent it all, there arose a famine in that land, and he began to want. So he, when he had spent all that money on that wild living, and then double whammy, there was a famine. We don't know how long it took for him to finish that money. We're not told. So he decided to do something about it, and he went and found a job with somebody in that country. Okay, he went and found a job and to feed swine. Now, if you can imagine the Pharisees now listening to this, this is the son. Now he goes, gets close to the swine which they despised. Okay, according to them, no, they're not even supposed to touch them. Now this son leaves his father and goes and starts, you know, feeding swine. So that would have been an outrage for those that heard. So he was very, very sad, and nobody gave him anything, and nobody gave him the food, and probably he was even waiting for his payday, you know. And so while he's waiting to have his wages or something, he was actually wishing he could eat what the pigs were eating. You know, that's how hungry he was. Then the Bible tells us, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? That's verse 17. And I perish with hunger. He came to himself. He realized, okay? So it's the picture of a person living in rebellion who comes and he hits rock bottom. Most people have done that. I did that. I hit rock bottom, and then I prayed to God and said, please save me. Nobody really spoke to me. I just realized I was going down the tubes, as it were. And so if there's anybody here who has felt that, or you don't have to wait to feel that, if you are living in this kind of life outside Christ, you should come to yourself. So when he came to himself, he arose. So it says, I will arise. And he arose, verse 20, and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So his father, when he was a long way off, his father saw him. What this implies is that the father was expecting him, you know, because he was looking out for him. Because he saw him a long way off. He didn't see him here. He must have been, surveying the horizon. See, is he going to come? Maybe he's going to come. So he saw him a long way off, and he recognized him right away, And he ran. This was an older man, Maybe, it was people didn't run that much those days with robes and everything. But he ran towards him. Okay? Ran towards him. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This was a guy who had filthy and he was, I'm sure he wasn't a pretty sight to look at. So he received him back very happily. He ran to meet him. Then, verse 21, and the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer worthy to be called your son. Some people say the Jews didn't mention the word God too many because they thought they might sin. So he uses the word heaven instead of God. I've sinned against heaven. Okay. So he confessed his sins to God and to his father. Verse 22. And the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. He didn't want to hear it. The father didn't want to make him the son feel bad. He had confessed. He already knew he had confessed. So he didn't pursue that logical line of thinking when the son was saying, I've sinned against you and all that. You already forgave him. So his sign of showing forgiveness was to call the servants so they put him put a robe and put a ring on him and his sandals. So the father gave him three items. Okay. And so we see a robe is we hear of a robe of righteousness. Okay, that we are the people. Everyone who is saved is cloaked with the robe of righteousness, meaning God and the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. Our sins are made as white as snow, and we are cloaked in a robe of righteousness. Okay. And they didn't say, oh, go wash him first, No, he's covered in a robe of righteousness. So that doesn't matter. Your sins are made as white as snow. So and then there's a ring of... Which, as when we get married, we get a ring, shows continuous relationship, So shows the continuous relationship with him, and then we have sandals. Not too many people had sandals in those days, so they brought those things to him. And then the father said, verse 23, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. There was a calf there, the fatted calf. So in my opinion, that he had the calf all the time. The father had a fatted calf all the time for that day when the son was going to come. It wasn't something that coincidentally there was a fatted calf. There was one all the time in readiness for his son. when he would return. That's how God expects us, you know, God rewards, he's waiting for us, you know, to return to him. So there was a fatted calf, and he says, kill that fatted calf so we can rejoice. My son was dead. He was just as good as dead. Now he's back. Yeah, okay. We continue on. Verse 25. Now his older son. Now enter the older son. They just mentioned at first that there were two sons. And he is now the older son. Now his older son was in the field, and as he drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Verse 28. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lord, these many years I've been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your living and with harlots, you killed the fatted calf. So this older brother is a representation of the Pharisees. Now that the Lord is now bringing it down to them, so they can perhaps see themselves in this, you know. That's self-righteous, so if this son thinks he has been very good to his father all this time, he deserves, you know, a fatted calf. But ironically, this son actually had two portions of the, when the father divided the inheritance. Okay, so where did I get that? Let's read Deuteronomy 21, 15 to 17. Deuteronomy 21, 15 to 17. Deuteronomy 21. Okay, 15. Ignore the top part. You know, if a man has two wives, one loved and the other unloved, and they have borne him children, both the loved and the unloved, and if the firstborn son is of her who is unloved, then it shall be on the day he bequeaths his possessions to his sons that he must bestow firstborn status on the son of the loved wife in preference to the son of the unloved, the true firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the beginning of his strength, the right of firstborn is his. So the real issue here is that according to this, the firstborn was supposed to have double portion all the time, doesn't matter. From the unloved wife or from the loved wife. Okay? So a double portion is once you get one, two, this one gets one. So you got two-thirds of what was actually being divided. Okay? So the older son got two-thirds of what was divided. Certainly he could fatten his own calf, wouldn't he? You know? And then it's divided into, so what he's showing us is that he's just showing his self-righteousness. He's saying, you're this son of yours. Okay? All that. It almost shows what our brother read this morning, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Okay? The Pharisee is praying to himself, I do this, I do that, and do that. That's what this one is saying. I've been here with you, I've been looking after the farm, and you haven't done anything for me. But the tax collectors said, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. So the older son couldn't go in. So what's the message of this parable? That's what we need to go on now. So the last son, the lost son, came back to him. And we read that there is a way that seems right to a man, the end of which is death. Okay. So this young man thought it was right for him to take off, but he found out that his way was not as good as it was supposed to be. So then in Romans 8:12-14 said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as men as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So he was living by the flesh, did everything by the flesh, and the Bible is telling that if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Okay? So, what do we do then? So the Lord Jesus Christ, at the beginning of his ministry, talked a lot about repentance. Okay. A lot. John 1:19, first of that one says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us all from all unrighteousness. Okay. He said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. So throughout the Bible, it tells us about repentance. God commands men everywhere to repent. So this is what this young man did. He repented. To repent is to just turn around. He repented and he came back to his father. Now, Mark chapter 2, I think there was a quote from it this morning. Don't turn it to it, I'll read it. It is similar. You know, these are tax collectors, the Pharisees are complaining again. This is what I said, I'll read it later on. Then he went out, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of a priest, sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with his sinners? Tax collectors and sinners. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, and those who are sick but those who are sick and did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for sinners to come to repentance. Okay? Waiting, he came to call sinners to repentance. But ironically, those people that is saying, those who are not sick, don't need a physician. It's not necessarily those who are not sick. There are some who are sick, but they don't know they are sick. You know, they don't, you know. So he's saying, if you acknowledge that you're a sinner, he came for you. Okay? So that's what he's telling the Pharisees. So that's what this boy did. He came because he realized that he was a sinner. He came back home. But the older son didn't think he was a sinner and is complaining, and he stayed out of the celebration. Now, we have the father that we haven't talked about. Okay? So the father, of course, represents God, our father, the heavenly father, his mercy and his grace, and his desire for a relationship. So we are all sinners, just like the prodigal son. Oh, we are all sinners. There's none good, not one. The Bible tells us. So the Lord said he came to reveal the Father. And this parable shows us how he reveals the Father. He came to reveal the Father. Matthew 11, verse 27 says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So he reveals to us the Father. So he's revealing to us how the Father is waiting for us to come. And excuse me. So the Father is long-suffering and willing that no one should perish. So that we see that this father here was waiting for his son, and long-suffering, never gave up. Because we know that he was there for many years, because that's what the older son said. This many years have saved you. So this young man was away for many years, but the father didn't give up on waiting, long-suffering. So he's the father, is waiting for the son. So the father is waiting for us all. Now we go to the older son, finally. We've talked about him. So the Pharisees, this older son represents the Pharisees, and they are the keepers of the law, as I said. But the Lord summarized the law into two that we could use as a guide. It says, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. This older son didn't show any love for his son, his brother. Although he was talking about how good he was, he didn't show any love for his brother. He did everything as a duty to his father, not out of love. He would have been the one that would have hosted that welcoming party. But he proclaims his righteousness when the brother comes. I've done this, I've done that. But there's another parable in the Bible that talks about why do you worry about a speck in somebody's eye, you know, when you have a log in your eye. You know? So first of all, get rid of that log in your eye before you can worry about the speck that's in your brother's eye. You know? So this man had a log in his eye and worrying about his brother's speck. You know, in the brother's eye. The he should clear his eyes before he starts criticizing. And he says, this son of yours, you know, instead of saying my brother, is this son of yours. You know, he avoids saying, you know, brother, he says, this son of yours. But the father goes and says, he changes the tone of the conversation. He says, my son, okay? He corrects him. He says, my son, this brother of yours, okay? This brother of yours was lost, but he is alive again. So he's trying to put him right. And we had to celebrate. They had to celebrate because, as we read in the first two parables, angels in heaven. I said to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven and the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So they celebrated just in the same way angels in heaven celebrate when one sinner repents. There was a celebration here. There's a celebration in heaven over one sinner that repents, that comes to God. So the older brother allows his anger to overtake him. He nurses his anger, doesn't acknowledge his brother's, you know, return, and he also thinks his inheritance is threatened, you know. Yes, somebody else goes and spends, now comes to live on my inheritance. You know, that's selfishness, isn't it? You know, and so he thinks, hey, you know, you went and spent your money, you know, why are you coming back? But that's not love for the brother. You know, and it's it shouldn't be like that. Now, I have, before I close, I have Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 10, which kind of summarizes where we were, and, you know, if you are a saved person, you can relate to it. So you can go Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Okay. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay? That's once you come to repentance. And in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all are. We all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that nice? That's the ages, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness and toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ just for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, if you are saved, this is where we were, and we have been brought into relationship with God. and residing in heavenly places. And may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. I may have finished a little early, I don't know, but I hope this message helps us and helps those that are far from the Lord, that you can come. You can repent, you can turn around, and you can come to your Father who is waiting and looking out for you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee again for this time that we can open the word and we can read there from the word that has come down to us through many generations. We pray for one another. We pray for those that are outside thy kingdom, that they will come and they will get away from the lures of the world. There are many attractions, but the end of which is death. We pray, Father, for the salvation of souls, not only here, but everywhere. And people should repent everywhere. Father, we thank thee that you have given us the opportunity to read it with words. And we thank thee and we pray for one another. And as we part, go to home, that you will be with us as we travel on the roads. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.